have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Hi, I'm Dr. Jerry Green. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. We have an awesome show lined up for you tonight as the Bishop tackles kingdom issues and current events. But first, let's receive First Lady Sharon Richard with her faithful financial moment. Good evening, First Lady.
Good evening, Jerry. This is Sharon Richard with your faithful financing moment. One of the biggest traps that many people fall into, particularly during the holiday season, is the overuse of credit cards. Credit card companies make it sound so easy. They give you credit and tell you that as long as you make the minimum payment each month on time, you will be fine. Remember, in Proverbs 22:7, God tells us that the borrower is servant to the lender. God's will is for us not to have debt. There are situations where you must enter into debt, but we should seek God in all circumstances to ensure that you are in His will. If you are, He will give you provision to satisfy these debts reasonably and without financial stress or long-term discomfort. So the best option is to minimize use of your credit cards. But if you must use them, generally a good rule of thumb is paying at least 2 times the minimum due on the low end. More preferable would be to seek to pay off amounts owed within 12 months. So if you want to charge $1,000 worth of purchases, you should plan to pay at least $100 a month to cover the $1,000 plus applicable interest within the 12-month period. If in completing your budget you cannot do this, you should reconsider whether making these purchases are truly necessary. Another consideration when charging on credit cards is to minimize the use of available credit. A rule of thumb would be to seek to use no more than 30% of your total credit line. Creditors consider people who utilize more than 30% of their available credit a higher risk. Ultimately, this leads to lower credit scores. Your debt to available credit ratio actually accounts for 30% of your overall credit score. So if you have a $5,000 credit line, you should use no more than $1,500. If you already have debt that exceeds 30% of your credit line, you should make every effort to pay down your debt on the credit card that has the highest debt to credit line first. If you have savings, use it to pay down credit card debt. Keep in mind that in our current economy, a savings account generally is providing less than 2% interest from the bank. Meanwhile, you are paying interest on that credit card at a rate of probably at least 15%. So you are much better off taking some of your savings to pay down debts. Finally, the most important aspect of managing your credit cards is to always pay them on time. Between late fees and the impact on your credit scores, it is very costly when payments are not made on time. Don't fall into the credit card trap. While the short-term benefits of making significant purchases on credit may seem gratifying, in the long run, more than likely, the pain of it will be revealed. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by Open Mic with the Bishop with your host, Bishop Ernest E. Richard, Jr. And I believe it is Ladies' Night, so stay on. I know you will enjoy.
How you doing, everybody? I'm Nina Taylor with this week's Gospel News. Gospel singer Beverly Crawford was born in Gainesville, Florida on August 31, 1963. She's an American gospel singer who is best known for singing with the New Life Singers on Bobby Jones' Gospel on BET. She's also known for her songs such as Praise Jehovah, Run to the Water, He's Done Enough, and It's About Time for a Miracle. Beverly began singing at the age of 3 and joined her sisters as part of the group The Camp Sisters. In November of 1982, she married Todd Eugene Crawford. They have 2 children. In January 2009, Beverly took home the Stellar Gospel Music Award for Best Traditional Female Vocalist of the Year. She has performed with gospel artists such as Shirley Murdoch and Bobby Jones. Paul Sylvester Morton, born July 30 of 1950, is an American Baptist pastor, gospel singer, and author. He is also founder of the Full Gospel Church Fellowship. His father pastored 2 congregations, one in Windsor, Ontario, and the other in Detroit, Michigan. In 1972, Morton moved to New Orleans, Louisiana, and to the Greater St. Stephen's Missionary Baptist Church, now known as Greater St. Stephen's Full Gospel Baptist Church, where he became an associate pastor. Upon ascension to senior pastor, Morton introduced Pentecostal and charismatic elements to the church. Shortly after his appointment as senior pastor of Greater St. Stephen's, Morton married the former Deborah Brown. Together, they have 3 children. Jasmine Paul Jr. and Christian. His son Paul Jr. later became a Grammy Award-winning musician under the name of P.J. Morton. During his pastorate at Greater St. Stephen's Full Gospel Baptist Church, Morton established the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship. The movement became its own separate denomination in 1994. Morton was consecrated by George Augustus Stallings In New Orleans in 1997, St. Stephen's grew to 18,000 members in three locations under his pastorate. In November of 1993, he established the Joint College of Bishops. In 2005, Morton founded Changing a Generation Full Gospel Baptist Church in the Metro Atlanta area. In 2015, he retired from his office as leader of Full Gospel. The Honorable Les Brown. Motivational speaker Les Brown was born Leslie Calvin Brown on February 17, 1945 in Miami, Florida. After giving birth to Brown and his twin brother Wes, Brown's biological mother gave her sons up for adoption when they were 6 weeks old to Mrs. Mamie Brown. When he was in the fifth grade, being placed in special education classes and labeled as mentally retarded, Brown attended Booker T. Washington High School, where he was influenced by a speech and drama instructor who encouraged him to pursue a career in radio broadcasting. After graduating from high school and briefly working for the Department of Sanitation, Brown worked as an errand boy for a Miami Beach radio station. In the late 1960s, Brown moved to Columbus, Ohio to work for a radio station there, where he became active in the community. Brown's political activism in Columbus won him a seat with the 29th House District of the Ohio State Legislature. In 1981, Brown left the Ohio State House of Representatives to care for his ailing mother back in Florida. He established Brown Enterprises in 1989, received the National Speakers Association's Highest Award and the Council of Peers Award of Excellence. In 1990, Brown recorded the Emmy Award-winning series of speeches entitled You Deserve. In 1991, Toastmasters International select Brown as one of the world's best speakers and awarded him with the Golden Gavel Award. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, The Promise, the Mississippi Mass Choir. 9, Angel Taylor with Feet. 8, No Stressin', Damon Little. 7, Heaven by Anthony David and Algebra Brissett. 6, Speak Your Name, Anthony Brown and Group Therapy. 5, Thank You, featuring Moret Brown Clark from James Greer and Company. 4, All Things, Kirk Franklin. 3, Lord Do It For Me, Zacardi Cortez. Number 2, I Believe God, Jacqueline Carr. And number 1 for 2 weeks in a row, It's Working by Hezekiah Walker and Todd Delaney. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station.
Hello, I'm Nina Taylor. Welcome to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. This show tackles kingdom issues and current events from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Bishop and Company for today's discussion. Good evening, Bishop.
Good evening to you, Nina Taylor. I do thank you so very much for all that you do for this wonderful show. Also, to my beautiful wife, First Lady Sharon Richard. Love you to life, sweetheart. Can't wait to get home to you. Well, as many of you can tell, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we've chosen to rejoice and to be glad in it. But I'm not going to spend the rest of the day talking to anybody about anything. I'm getting ready to let this mic go because it's ladies' night, and every third Wednesday of every month, my two co-hosts come in, and they do such an awesome job. So without further ado, let me introduce to some and present to others all the way from Indianapolis, Indiana, this anointed vessel of the Lord ain't scared of the devil. Let me say that again. She ain't scared of the devil. Y'all come on and say hello to Pastor Anna Henderson. How you doing, Pastor Henderson?
Yes, amen, amen. Good evening to each one. Amen. We thank God for being on tonight. Truly, this is the day the Lord has made. We are rejoicing and being glad in it. And we're so glad for the discussion on tonight.
Amen. And then let me get my other co-host in here, and then I'm going to close my mic or at least put myself on mute so I can sit down and listen because I anticipate a great show tonight. She hails from the great state of Connecticut, the city of New Haven, by way of Woodbridge. I call her a valley girl, but she got some hood in her. But most importantly, she has the anointing. Y'all come on and say hello to newly ordained Elder Lauren Brown. How you doing, sis?
Thank you.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Good to be on.
All right. Well, listen, ladies, this floor belongs to you. And, of course, always, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, hello to you. I know you're always busy doing something. Thank you for producing the show for us. Thank you, those of you who are on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, those who are on Spotify, those who are on the TuneIn, those who are on YouTube, and wherever you may be listening, Blog Talk Radio. And if I missed anybody, charge it to my head and not to my heart. Without further ado, ladies, the floor belongs to you. I'm stepping back.
All right. Amen, amen. Good evening, everybody. I want to do a quick roll call, Pastor Henderson. Good evening to you. Our guest, social worker, Sister P.J. Simmons, are you up?
I am. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Right for the voice. Amen, amen. All right. And Pastor Pam, are you available?
I am available. God bless you all.
Woo-hoo. All righty then. I'm excited. All right. Well, I'm going to give our topic, and then after I give the topic, if you wouldn't mind, Pastor Henderson, if you would pray us in after I give the topic. Our topic this evening, and let me introduce first of all, Sister P.J. Simmons is our social worker, and she works in that profession currently. Would you like to give us any type of intro of yourself, Ms. Pat?
All right, so I am Elder Pat Jenkins Simmons. I am a mental health professional, a clinical social worker therapist. I'm also a coach. I have been in practice for about 20 years in the gospel, almost about that long, too. My forte is stress management, and I actually talk a lot about mental health and the faith in the people of God and how we need to understand that mental health is health.
Yeah. Amen. All right. All right. And Pastor Pam, would you like to introduce yourself, please, and let us know who you are?
I am Pastor Pam Teague, the executive pastor of Vaslea Outreach Ministries, Inc. in New Haven, Connecticut. I have to confess that I have no experience in the mental health industry. So I'm here to chime in when I can. I believe that Elder Patricia Simmons is a good, very good, and the right candidate to speak on this topic for tonight. But wherever I can, I will chime in. But I'm really going to turn it over to her.
Amen. All right. That's a wonderful thing. I thank God for everyone being here. And, you know, it's just amazing to get together and realize how much we can learn from sharing, being concerned about each other and learning. You know, there are answers to many things that come in different forms. But we also know that we are all women of faith, and that we believe the Bible and we use the Bible where it is applicable. But we thank God for professionalism, especially when it comes to our mental health. All right, Pastor Henderson, could you pray us in, my sister, please?
Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we thank you for our gathering tonight, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for what our ears will hear. We thank you, oh God, for the opportunity and for the platform, Lord, to be able to discuss issues and to find out more information, oh God, that will help, oh God, better, oh God, the lives of individuals. Lord, we thank you for each one that's tuned in on tonight. Lord, we ask that you bless our guests on tonight as they speak forth on tonight. For Lord, your word declares that iron sharpens iron. And we thank you, God, hallelujah, for this opportunity, oh God, to learn, oh God, and to hear, oh God, hallelujah, what's needful, oh God, on our topic tonight. Oh God, hallelujah, that's confronting, oh God, the lives of those in our society, oh God, and our nation. And so, Lord, we thank you for what we will hear on tonight. Oh God, let everything that's been said and done, let it be for your glory and for your honor. And we give your name the praise. The glory and the honor be thine. In Jesus' mighty, matchless, holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, I want to start with you, Elder Simmons, since you are our, what do you call it, in-house expert. How about that? I would like to, for you to kind of explain briefly.
Well, I'm gonna tell you what I know. Because we're ever learning and always learning.
Absolutely. Yeah. Amen. Can you tell us in a brief synopsis, a brief summary, what the mental health crisis is really being labeled as today?
Well, I'll be really honest. That's a really broad question because one of the things that people have to understand is that, as I said earlier in my introduction, mental health is health. That's part of health. Yes. And one of the things you have to understand is that it's always been there. It's come. Mm-hmm. The pandemic has actually pushed it more to the forefront, I believe, because people had to stand on their own. And for a professional like me, if you weren't rooted and grounded in the things of God, you really had a extremely hard time. And even people of God had a really hard time. Some churches closed. You know, people we weren't able to do what we normally do, and that affects your being. Mm-hmm. That affects your core, and you really have to be much more grounded. Now, they talk about the crisis, but what it is it's an awareness now. Yes, it's always been there. There's always been mental health issues. If you look in the Word, you'll see mental health issues.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they call it that. It wasn't as if the Word spoke about mental health. And I actually do a couple of workshops in churches if they ask me to come and talk about it, because we as people of God really have to take our stigma away from people who have.
Thank you so much.
Have that. And I'm saying that because they use mental health and mental illness interchangeably, but it's different. Illness is, it's a difference. And Pam, you could jump in here because, you know, as a minister of the gospel, you know that there are people who are really sick, and they're more than just sick. They're so sick. Their mental illness can actually affect you physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can.
And I think that comes into play also with not only the pandemic, but the spotlight being put on the mental health crisis. But also I think it comes from if we all look at the different areas in our, you know, personal lives, so to speak, because you realize that with crises and with different traumas that come and the number of traumas, people respond differently. And there are some people that don't really, I wouldn't say they openly respond, so to speak, because we've been taught to, you know, you can tough it out, you can take it, you got this. But when you're losing
you can praise it away. You can praise it away.
What?
Oh, no, wait a minute. No. They talk about if someone says, I'll give you an example. If someone says they're hurting and their heart is hurting, they, you know, someone not of knowledge will say, well, you just need to, you know, just need Jesus. And you just, and we take nothing from our Lord and Savior. We know he can do everything.
Yes.
But if that person is not in that place, when they can apply the word and the precepts and the concepts to their life, then, you know, you saying that to them, is that really helping?
It's a flipping answer. Yeah. Amen. And we've been, and I know Pat and Pam will both laugh, we've been in women's fellowship, and we had one of the, she was an older lady, not that much older than we were, but we were discussing different issues as far as, you know, relationship issues with our husbands or boyfriends or whoever, it was at that time. And this woman, and I must quote, and I know both of you are going to crack up, she specifically said, all you need to do is put the Bible on your heart and you'll be all right. We look at each other like, what? Now, yes, we do
y'all
believe
remember
in the
that.
Application.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes, we do believe the application, but as as Pat said, if you are not in that place where you can really apply any type of tool or any type of movement, because sometimes we are so emotionally traumatized, I feel like sometimes you really can't even move. And if you're frozen and you can't move, then you can't really, you know, start the healing process or start the identification process of a mental crisis.
So let's do this. Let me define a little bit. I'll take my little bit of knowledge and let's define what mental health is. And then I'll give you a little definition. I'll give you the World Health Organization's definition of what mental health is. They say mental health is a state of well-being in which an individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with normal stress of life, can work productively, and is able to contribute to his or her community. That's from the World Health Organization. That's how they define mental health, okay? And before you can talk about it, you need to do it. So I'm going to go a little bit further about what mental health is, and then I'll give you a little synopsis of mental illness, and then take it from there. Then you'll understand. Some people try to interchange it, but if there's a difference.
You can't.
Mental health is our emotional, psychological, social well-being. It affects how we think, feel, act. It also helps determine how we handle stress, relate to others, and make choices. Mental health is important at every stage of life, from childhood, adolescence, to adulthood.
Amen.
Okay. So now that's the definition of mental health. What say you, ladies?
Well, you know what I think is so profound even in that is the fact that being a retired classroom teacher, I didn't understand the full ramifications of what these children were trying to process, and they didn't really understand what their mental health wellness was to them and what they needed. So with that definition, it brings up a lot of not only questions, but also pinpoints where we as parents, if you're not in tune with your child and at least checking on your child, then these things can slip by. Because unless they're, you know, totally outwardly like changing their dress or changing their conversation with you, you may miss it. And sometimes I believe, instructor, I'm wrong, how these children cope with the different situations that were going on at home. For example, not having food or not having proper laundry facilities, you know, to wash their uniforms and things of that nature. Some of these children just really shut down, not realizing that if they just said something to help, you know, ask for help, you know. But I also think, and you can comment on that too, Ms. Pat, if you're in a state where you cannot even verbalize a cry for help, that is a situation where we have to be able to realize that at that point when you know you can't speak up, that's the time when you really need to reach out to someone that you trust and say, you know what, I'm even having trouble speaking up. Because sometimes I would say the shame of your situation may keep you from coming forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what, you really have to think about it. In Christendom, they put a shame on not being well, because it's as if you're not trusting God enough. You're not living holy enough. Oh, you must have sinned. Think about how we, and I'm saying we, I'm not saying anybody specific, but in Christendom, how they perceive that you know, you're not supposed to show your lonely. Oh, because God is forever with you. But if you're hurting, what do you do? Amen. How do you speak? Where do you,
yes.
what are you, you know, you right. got it. And yes, you do go to God in prayer. But if you do not have those skills, if you don't
right.
know, like you said, the woman said, the Bible.
That
the
was
book,
the most hilarious.
And apply it on you.
Myself.
Think about that,
Seriously?
Y'all. All right. Mm-hmm. Instead of opening the book and getting the knowledge
Girl.
Into your spirit.
Right. And I was newly married, and I'm looking at her like, really? And that was the only explanation she gave. And I'm sitting there, my mind was blown. I was like, okay. And then, okay, let's chime in. How would you respond to someone who says something like that in an appropriate manner? What would you say from
well,
your experience?
First of all, she did not say it correctly. We don't place the Bible on our hearts. If what she was trying to say is, I'll put it this way, is that maybe not per se, she said it like physically placing the Bible on
yes.
your heart. But that's not going to do anything. It's not the Bible itself, physical being of the Bible that's going to heal us.
Yeah.
It's the word that's inside
Amen.
The Bible is what's going to deliver us from what it is. And like I agree with Elder Simmons when she was saying, we all are affected in some way by mental health. Because
yes.
mental health, as I was studying and I got a better understanding of talking about it, says it reflects our emotional, psychological, and social well-being. It affects how we think, how we feel, and act. So mental health really has a strong impact on the way that we react to others. It has an impact
yes.
on how we handle our problems. There's an impact
yes.
on us in even making decisions.
Amen.
You know, and I was reading that it says, according to the CDC, that, and that's the difference in, there's a difference in where she, as Elder Simmons was saying, there's a difference in mental health and mental illness.
Illness. Amen.
Illness
that's right.
Itself
that's
refers
right.
to conditions that affect a person and how they feel, their moods, or their behaviors.
Exactly.
So it's
exactly.
mental illness is a condition. Mental health
and
is like an emotion or
the overall,
you know,
the overall health of a person. And the interesting
correct.
Thing about it is in the body of Christ, we don't even admit that people have those issues.
No nope.
right.
Okay.
No. Nope.
And they do, and that's how the enemy can get us, because we don't even admit.
Right.
We won't even
right.
admit. And if you look in the Word, you
yes.
see many of people.
Many
that have. Many. There are many.
Amen.
There are many people, powerful people that the Lord used that had
yes.
mental had mental illness. Had trauma
right.
happen to them, and he used them. But we in the kingdom, let you cry, and then they stop you from crying.
Amen.
But you know what? I remember an old saying, that's a right cry. Them tears are cleansing. It get it out.
Exactly.
Do y'all remember
yes.
that?
I remember
yes.
that, yes.
Remember that?
Crying yes. is cleansing, yes.
Yes.
It cleanses.
Yes.
But it does. And it's
yes.
like we even stop them. We tell men they're not supposed to cry. What?
No, they are.
They are.
Feel,
Amen.
You know why? Because they
know,
feel those same emotions that
exactly.
that women feel. They have. They're not exempt from.
Nope.
You know, exempt
nope.
from those emotions. They feel the same thing. So if we feel like we can cry about it, why can't the men cry about it?
Why can't they
Amen.
Cry too? What they. They should feel emotions and stuff. And as
right.
Pastor Pam talked about mental illness, it's a difference. because it is a condition. It involves the changes in emotions, the thinking and behavior, the combination of all that. It is associated with distress, problems, social, work, family activities. You know, you need to look at it. It refers, it's a diagnosable mental disorder. It's, it's a health conditioning, involves your health, because if that is off kilter, if you have an imbalance, it will affect your health. If you you feel distressed, overwhelmed, some people can't work, they can't interact with their families, some people can't even leave their house. You know, it's an emotional and behavior illness. And no, you can't put your hands on it, but you can see it. You've seen it.
It's the evidence of it, right? It presents itself. Amen. Amen. And I think going back to the men, them being taught not to cry. One of the experiences that I've had, was very, very sad, because the person that I'm talking about, his emotions, he shoves them in and keeps them there. Doesn't talk about them, you know, doesn't even release them. But then when there's an episode, or when there's a volcano comes about because of all the situations that he stuffed down in his life, he actually collapsed, physically collapsed. And it was the weirdest thing, because
so overwhelming.
And I thought this person was, a rock in Gibraltar. But then when I saw that, I was like, wait a minute. And it disturbed me, but I thought about it. And again, as you had both said, men are taught, or some men were taught, different generations were taught, no, hey, that's a girly thing. You can't cry, no. But as Pastor Pam was pointing out also, they experience the same emotions that we do. But our society and even Christendom will tell them, fuck it up. You're the pastor. You're the headship. They can't see you cry. They can't see you broken. Are you serious? The whole point of us being Christians and being in God is the fact that we're surrendering ourselves. We're surrendering all of those broken areas to allow the Father to minister to those areas. If I didn't allow God in, oh my, I would hate to even think where I would be. I would hate to even think where I would be.
And as you were talking, I was thinking. Go ahead.
I'll say it again. Sorry.
No, I was listening, and I was just chiming in what you were saying. And you know, those stigmas about the male doesn't cry, and, you know, as men, you don't cry. And just the stigma about mental health as in general has caused the truth to be concealed. And the enemy likes to work in darkness. So if he can keep truth from coming in and giving an understanding to Christians about mental health. And about the walk of you know, this walk in Christ, because I've had someone that asked me, you know, is being depressed, does that mean that I have a demon, you know, or if I have issues with my emotions, does that mean I've, and some people have categorized, if you have these issues going on, whether it was trauma or whether it's anxiety or whether it was, you know, from some kind of abuse or some kind of substance, you know, then they have these characteristics, and a lot of times people are ashamed to talk about it, and even in the church, because they feel like, you know, I don't want to be looked upon. Yeah, especially in the church, because they don't want to feel like, you know, they're different. They don't want to feel like somebody categorizing them to say that they have a devil, or, you know, to categorize that I'm not good enough to be a Christian. And so these stigmas have to be talked about. Because for people to be free, they have to be free to talk about their experiences so that the light of God's word can come in and liberate them. You know, and I think this is so important to talk about.
What I think people don't know is that even in those things like depression and bipolar and, you know, the anxiety and all that stuff, those are not demon actions. Those are actually mood disorders. There's something
and the interesting thing, you're absolutely correct, because when you go to the word speaks about things of the heart, the mind, spiritual brokenness, and the condition of the soul. All those things are wrapped up in it. And so for us, you know, as in Christendom, in the body of Christ, we, just like our sister, like our Pastor Henderson said, we, it has to be exposed because the enemy works in the dark. And when the light's not shined on it, you know, I was in a situation a couple of years ago, and I didn't find out till after that this young woman was really sick. I could see it. And so my objective was, and yes, she was a Christian, could speak and walk and talk to her, but my objective was I wanted her to go into counseling because I knew what I was looking at. Uh-huh. And you know why she didn't go? Because her man or woman of God told her she was possessed of a demon, and she was so embarrassed. Oh, I didn't find out until like 6 or 7 months later. And when I did find out, she had broken down so much. Oh my God! It was. I was just like, I was upset. I was upset because I was like, regardless of what you might be, you can have some. Listen, we have to have some wisdom in this.
Yeah.
Okay.
Come on now.
You have to have some wisdom, and she would not get help because she didn't want to have them think that she had a demon. She had a chemical imbalance.
Right.
Right.
They still call it what it is. And even if that person over them told them that they had, that it was demons, that they were demon possessed, then deal with the demons so you can then deal with her situation.
There you go.
Well, see,
the truth of the matter is, if that was the case, honey, we should have been praying. She got like the old saints. All right, come on, let's go.
Exactly.
We're going to deal with this right now.
Bind them up
okay.
And catch them up. But we don't do
thank
that
you very much. Isn't that our authority that the Lord gives to us?
We have this.
That's
exactly.
Right. That's
that
right.
Out.
Well,
but it's not done in the churches anymore. They put more of a worldly spin on how they're dealing with situations and dealing with people instead of even taking them and going to the Word, you know, because it's the Word that's going to deliver them anyway. There's nothing that's going to come out of our natural mouths or our own thinking and our own, even our educated mind, education and what we're in it, it's still going to take the power of God sometimes to handle a lot of those situations.
Amen.
And you can see stuff, but there is a timing when how you do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's a timing and walking in wisdom. So then she didn't get no help and lost everything, ladies.
That's the trick of the enemy. That's the trick of the enemy. And I think it's so important not to sweep these kind of issues under the rug, but to have real conversations and not to be ashamed to say that, hey, I'm feeling down today. I'm going through some things. I've dealt with some loss, especially in this pandemic. There is so much silent frustration going on. People are walking around like ticking bombs, ready to go off need somebody to understand what they're going through. And we as the church, we have the answers, and sometimes we are silent when we should be speaking up, when we should be addressing these issues, when we should be praying and fasting, just like you said, let's deal with it at the altar. Let's talk about it. Let's come together. Let's love on one another. Let's help each other through it. But when
you
don't
said
talk
the
about it,
words, love one another. Let's love on them.
Come on now.
Let's
come
speak
on now.
The word. Let's love on them. And then, I will tell you, as a professional, I'm like, but you know what? And as a woman of God, I'm like, okay, I know what that is, but that ain't the time to talk it. So let me go ahead on. You know, I will walk in my office and say, you walk up in this office. I said, now, I hope you don't mind me praying for you, baby, because this is what we get ready to do. Okay.
I know that.
I've done that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because sometimes you look at a person and the spirit will tell you, no, you can't do that today. I just need you to pray. And I will tell you, I have asked permission. They have. I have not had one person tell me no.
Right now.
And I walk in a session and say, can I pray for you? Let me pray right now so we can get some wisdom about this. And then move forward because they know what my credentials say. They see that I have Christian counseling. They know that. I feel like if you come into me, then you're looking for something more than just what I'm taught. You're looking for the other part. You're looking for the other part. And you had to think about it, depression. Think about Elijah. Now, wait a minute. Don't tell me he wasn't depressed after he did mighty feats. God, what? Come on,
he was a bit depressed. Jesus.
Are you kidding, right? Come on.
Amen.
Wait a minute. He in the cave, y'all. What do that sound like?
That sounds like depression. Amen. That ostrich spirit.
When I talk to people of God, I say, you could pick out people in the Word, and you know depression.
Right.
You know what trauma is. Excuse me. Tamar, was that not trauma? She was a saucy. Excuse me. Hello.
That's right.
Hello. Let's be real. Is you know, we hiding it, and it's right there in the Word. He already gave us the handbook. And what did the Lord do? Sent him someplace so he could rejuvenate, get some rest, eat, beautiful place. Hey, listening to the water in the brook, and he getting his food. Come on here. There is a remedy to it. Yes, I can tell you, when I deal with stress, I start talking about, what's your sleep routine like? What you doing? What time you going to be? This is the first thing, and I'm holding everybody accountable. Excuse me, when the last time you've been to the doctor? When was your last physical? Question. Because people of color, we don't go to the doctor like we're supposed to. Women will do it. Men, I'm finding more men who do it too. We take care of everybody else but ourselves. Excuse me, you need to go to the doctor at least once a year. So he can check me out. Not that, you know, he finding something. Yes, honey, I'm happy for your faith. I'm so glad. Give me some of that faith. You got that mustard seed faith? All right. But could you go to the doctor so they could say ain't nothing physical? So if there's something physical, we could deal with that. We could pray about that too and let him do, because God blesses doctors too.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I'm just saying there are so many examples of trauma, depression. It's there.
I like how you tied it in with the ones in the Bible, because the Bible, everything, there's nothing new under the sun. So the Word deals with every issue. And so those cares for David, when he was discouraged after they came in and raided the camp and took all the wives and all the goods.
Now tell me that wasn't depression. Wasn't he depressed?
Yeah, he had to encourage himself in the Lord. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You saw the trauma
of losing everything. Is that not, hello?
Right.
The Lord
says
he had to encourage himself.
Yes. Wow. Oh, yes.
If you look at it through the lens, it's there. We just have to understand, is it prevalent now?
Yes, it's more prevalent
because I think the pandemic exposed a lot and stuff. And people are on social media instead of getting real connections. We got to get, like we're on here, we're talking, we got to connect.
Yeah.
You know, we have to connect, reach out and connect. We were not made to stand solo.
No.
No.
And I thank God for the fellowship, number one. I've known Pastor Pam since I was 13 or 14. I've known you, Pat, for the last, 40 years. Our children grew up together. But I also thank God not only for that, but for the fact that we were able to come together in confidence, in women's fellowship, in different meetings. Mm-hmm. We respected each other. We dealt with each other's issues and whatnot. But the thing that I value the most is after we left, we didn't go, I'm on the phone calling so-and-so. There has to be a level of confidence in the people that we're allowed to go to. And I feel that sometimes leadership, where does leadership have to go? Where can these pastors go to speak and not be judged and not be ostracized? Because I think it's horrible that some of these leaders are committing suicide because they have no one to talk to.
That is part of the stigma of that. You have to do, it's what we've been saying. When you hide stuff, the enemy can talk to you because you do, if you look at the word, they did feel these things. Things did happen. They were discouraged. They were sad. They had been traumatized. Hey, wait a minute. They were scared. They had anxiety. That's why the word said be anxious for nothing. Hello?
Prayer's application. Amen. Amen.
Blood.
You know, she had that long-term issue. So as she was going through that, and I looked and I was like, you know what? Well, she was suffering, but as she was going through it, I'm sure she was anxious, apprehensive, discouraged. The different things, we see now. There are ones that lost their children. I'm sure they were going through bereavement like other people lost their parents, things of that nature. So it's not that these things, as Henderson said, they're not new. But we as a society have gotten so negative and so judgmental.
We focus all on the negative and never the positive things of the word. They always looking at the negative, but there are some positive things in the word that we need to talk and preach and teach and scream from the rafters the goodness and how the Lord brought them out. What the Lord did. Wait a minute. Nothing else. Mm-hmm. What Jesus did. And no, I'm not trying to be deep. I'm just saying, that we hold our dad on the cattle of a thousand hills. Man, he big time, y'all. Hello?
He's still the answer. He's still the answer. Whatever the situation, he is still the answer. He's the way,
and
the truth, and the
life. Don't be ashamed. If you got to go to the therapist or the doctor, then go, because he's going to bless too. He'll get him. I'm going to tell you what you're getting ready to find out. How many doctors, how many health professionals trust God, and will tell you. Wait a minute. Say it faster than you say it.
Amen. Because I think it's also an area, too, especially for me with the whole team that I have dealing with the different diseases. I take the time, and my kids were laughing at me like, Mom, what do you mean you pray? I said, I pray for my team of doctors. I pray for the medical people that service me. Because, number one, the system has been so stressed even before the pandemic. But now with the pandemic, even more. And I said, if I want proper service and I want people that are well and knowledgeable to deal with me, then maybe I need to get on my knees and ask the Lord, is this the right doctor? Can I pray with this doctor? Can I pray for the doctor?
Yes.
And you may not feel comfortable asking them, but there are some that, when you walk in there, they're so concerned about numbers, payment, yada, yada, yada. Prayer and fellowship is the furthest thing from their mind. They're just trying to run down that list in front of you. And one day I actually reached out, and Dr. Kumar, he's been my PCP for 30-some-odd years now. And unfortunately, each time that we've come together, it's been something where he's had to give me some more bad news. And I reached out one day, and I just touched his hand. And I'm telling you, the man just broke. And I was like, wait a minute. I said, he said, but I'm human, Lauren. He goes, I've been watching you. He goes, I know your son. I know your daughter. I know your mother. He goes, I know what kind of person you are. He goes, it's my desire to help you live well, to live better. And I looked at him. I said, you really are? He said, I really am concerned. I said, well, thank you. And I said, I'm a woman of faith. I said, you might I pray. He asked me, he said, yes. He goes, I would love that. He goes, sometimes people don't understand that. Yes, we are doctors. Yes,
well,
we have
to pray for our doctors that God give them the wisdom,
yes,
and how to handle, yes, and how to deal with the situations that we're going through. Because sometimes they don't know. Sometimes they go to their textbooks the way we go to the Bible.
That's right.
You know what? Mm-hmm.
And honestly, we are trained to, if you're a health, you are trained to do that. You're looking for the answer.
Exactly.
So I always feel like that if you have one that believe in God, oh, they got double
amen
power.
Amen.
They got double power. Yeah. Because that means they know,
yes,
how to use, they allow the wisdom of God to lead them.
Yeah,
you,
yes,
know, in,
yes,
this, in,
exactly,
this time,
exactly,
where we talk about, I can give you stats and everything about mental health. It is prevalent, but it's more on the forefront now because people are sick, are hurt.
Yes.
They are, yeah, angry, like the Pastor Henderson said. They is, you know, wait, I my son just told me about somebody playing some music and the neighbors complained and they got stabbed.
Because
the neighbor went to I was like, what? Over some music playing? Well, yeah, this is how. I was just like looking at him like, for real? They stabbed him?
Yeah.
The father,
yeah,
and the son. Gone.
And I like to ask the question because I was thinking about our teens and I like to ask the question. What advice would you give to parents who have a child that may be dealing with depression or maybe trauma or some kind of chemical imbalance? What advice would you give that parent to how can they better help their child? Because I think some parents are just not skillful enough to know how to deal with it. So what, mm-hmm, advice would you give a parent that has
a child
that they're seeing the symptoms?
I would honestly tell those parents, then you need to get a support system and get professional help in there. Don't hide it. Be very honest. There,
yeah,
is,
mm-hmm,
I will say some states have help. Connecticut actually has a lot of help rolling in here.
Imagine.
But in other states, mm-hmm, it's like a desert. You have to reach, yeah, out. I'm saying, you know, if you have a teen or anybody who got suicide, you can do the suicide hotline. Let me tell you,
mm-hmm,
you can text. You can text the suicide hotline. They will text to you. They sure will.
Mm-hmm.
They will text you. You get,
amen,
professional help. And you have to talk to your children. You know, the time,
yeah,
out, because we have so much technology out here.
Mm-hmm.
And the time out is letting technology
raise your children.
You know, raise your children and,
yeah,
stuff. Because it's the timeout. If you don't, you can text. If you need help, the suicide crisis line is 988. If you hit that, if you dial 988, it goes right to the crisis line, suicide,
man,
line. Mm-hmm. You don't even got to dial the 1-800.
Nope.
988.
Nope.
You can,
that's
get
it.
If you got suicide or crisis as young people, you can text, get professional help. There,
mm-hmm,
is wait a minute, excuse,
yep,
me, Sauvetage Wellness Center, that's me. You go online,
right,
you can find me. I'm not the fit, I actually find therapists for people. If I don't,
mm-hmm,
think I'm the fit and I think somebody else is the fit, I will say,
mm-hmm,
I need, you to call this person because I think they're a better fit for you and stuff. I will say, don't try to do it alone. People with the rise in substances, especially with mental health and substances, the fentanyl,
mm-hmm,
people are dying. All
yes,
it takes. And the,
yeah,
grief from that, because for so long, you know, how many of y'all remember when they had the crack, you know, epidemic? They were sending people to jail.
Yeah.
Guess,
mm-hmm,
what? Now,
yeah,
it's a mental illness. It is classified,
yeah,
as a mental illness.
And they,
yeah,
re-identify it. Yeah, thank you,
that's
Jesus. That's
got to go. You have to. If you have a young person and they are having issues with depression and stuff like that, you don't wait. If you suspect,
mm-hmm,
it, start,
yeah,
asking,
yeah,
questions. When someone is depressed, and this is for a young adult or adult, children, adult. The first 2 weeks of depression are the most dangerous. That's when they can kill themselves. Jesus. So if you see it,
and you
and
have
you
a lot
know
of people that, because they don't know what else to do. But I say while you're seeking that professional help, getting the professional help for the for whoever it is, then you pray. Now they're getting it on both sides.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Because
you don't,
now they're getting it come at them from both things. The thing is, if we surround them with that love that the Lord is talking about, I am not going to tell you that you can make not make a difference. If you just you ain't even got to say nothing. You just listen, and you make this.
Right.
Do not be afraid to hear. Some things you're gonna hear you might not even believe, but I am gonna tell you the half has not even been told with some of the stuff that some people have gone through. And I would say, if you have a youngster and they are experiencing such a depression, they're not. They don't want to do the things they used to do, things are changing and stuff. Yeah, you go get professional help. First of all, you go, you see what you can do and get professional help for them, but you get some for yourself. Because for too long, we have hidden and stayed in our churches and we danced all over mess. And then come out and get home and the same stuff going on and you ain't dealt with nothing.
Right.
You know, the insurance, a lot of people's insurance will pay for counseling. They'll at least pay for 10 cents. They will pay for it. If you find sometimes you flip over the back of your insurance card, they got a behavioral health
number
on the back of it. Call them. Call them. Put it in online. Go Psychology Today. Go. You would be surprised. They, if you can't get to somebody, listen, they do it online. I know I have people that I do online. I've never met them. But help is, the important thing is we have to be willing to go outside of ourselves and not be so daggone judgmental, body of Christ. Our people, what they need. They are dying, and their blood is going to be on our hands because we didn't give wisdom. Didn't give them wisdom. We didn't give them the love that God requires us up to do. And most don't talk about it. Pray about it. Stop talking about it. Let me be praying for this. And directing if you got to take them.
Amen.
That's what you got to do.
Amen. Amen.
And everybody needs that accountability person that they can go to and confidence and be able to talk and to share. That's so needful, so needful. Because a lot of our young people, they're also, they're using drugs and they're using alcohol, really trying to suppress their trauma, trying to suppress
their emotions. Self-medication. They're self-medicating, using that. Instead of dealing with the real issue that could be there. And I will say that when they are young, if they're under 18 and they're using marijuana, they're drinking, that changes them because it changes their neurons. It changes their brain pattern. And that's why they don't understand why we're so, as a health professional, I don't want you using nothing right now till you get 18. Actually, I don't want you using it till you get 21, okay? Because as long as you're in that developmental age and you're using marijuana and all this, and you know it ain't the same stuff that all the, and I ain't ashamed, all that we use way back yonder before we came to Christ. It ain't the same, and it changes the development of their mind, their brain patterns. They don't even know it. They wonder why certain things are happening, but they use it, and it's so hard to talk to them. But you have to keep talking. You have to keep praying. Mm-hmm. You got to get, you can't, you know, some things they won't let you do. When they get 18, they don't want to hear nothing you got to say, but that's all right. I know a God who know how to change some stuff.
Amen.
That's right.
So,
line of communication.
But that's
because
the big issue. So young people don't understand that how these things change their neurons and their functioning of their body and stuff. They don't get it. You know, I heard a doctor, a psychiatrist say to a client, I would rather you wait till you got 21 because at least I knew you were developed mentally and stuff. And he said that, and I looked at him, I was like, you know what? He ain't lying. Because if you use it before, then you're still developing. You're changing stuff that's it.
Yeah.
So.
Even some of these young people.
A lot of people are dealing with that chemical imbalance. A lot of people are dealing with that chemical imbalance. And it's causing a lot of problems in a lot of areas in that mental health arena. And they're doing things, like you said, they don't even know why they're doing it themselves.
Yeah,
the enemy comes in and... Yeah, and the enemy comes in and hides in that darkness, and that's why we as believers, we got to pray, we got to talk about these things, we got to put it before on the altar before the Lord, and we got to stand up. We can't be silent on issues that's really affecting our society, our youth, our church, our ministry, and even as you said, even pastors and those in ministry, you know, they have issues. And they need to be able to have somebody that they can go to as an accountability person in confidence and say, hey, I'm overwhelmed with all of this, you know, and have somebody that can pray them through. Pray
Amen.
Them through.
Amen.
And actually, and direct them and give them some wisdom. Because if you are in the kingdom and you're in a leadership-ish place and you are having a substance issue or you got anxiety and stuff, you can't tell everybody that, but you can.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If you reach out, there is some help for you. You don't have to stay in it. I agree with Elder Lauren. We're hearing pastors commit suicide. Come on, body of Christ. That's serious. That's serious.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I heard that. Oh my God, he didn't have nobody he could talk to. Everybody missed this.
Yep.
I said, Lord, we missed this. Where were we?
Yes, Jesus. Mm-hmm. And you just ask God for forgiveness, because even in those different situations, I don't need to know. And I think Pat and I and Pam and we all spoke on this. I don't need to know the details. I thank God that I've gotten to a level where I don't have to know what size you wear, who you slept with last night. I don't need to know all that to pray for you. As a seasoned saint, okay, this is a situation. Okay, I got you. And our spiritual mother, Dr. Darden, taught us, okay, now you told that person you were going to pray for them. So either you pray right now or you write it down and you pray later, because you made a vow. And now you are responsible for that vow. So you have to keep it. And I think sometimes as a society, we look at people and say, because your skirt is straight, because your blouse is ironed, you're okay. But you don't know underneath what it took for me to get me. And I need that support. I need accountability, because I have, and I know you guys are going to laugh, I have some friends, these people have nerve. They will show up. I'm like, excuse me, well, you aren't answering the phone. Well, I wanted to hear your voice. I'm like, but you came to my house. They're like, And I thank God for that, because there have been certain times with the multiple sclerosis, which I didn't understand, the mental or cognitive things that start to happen with your brain. Thank God for a mother. Thank God for a sister. Thank God for a best. Yeah. Thank God for a sister-in-law. Then they came and said, Lauren, are you all right? Lauren, what's going on? We haven't heard. I thank God, because as I was going through, the doctors couldn't answer it, because unfortunately, with different diseases, you're the test case right there. Some of this stuff is the doctor.
That's right. Because if it wasn't for God, they wouldn't even have the knowledge. Some things they don't know. So they need the Lord to come in there. Yeah.
Right.
Many of the things they don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's better
that you have a doctor who will admit they don't know and they have to find out. Then you have some quack-a-quack who says, oh, you know, put a Band-Aid on. Oh, no, here. Take some Tylenol with codeine. They will push pills like you wouldn't believe. And I thank God for being able to understand, you know what, I have a right as a patient to say no. I have a right for a second opinion. And I have to make sure that I have those rights together. And even now, I make sure that one of my children goes with me. I make sure that people understand that I have people that care for me and that are going to be concerned if something goes awry.
And that's a difference.
It is. It makes a big difference. Because it
makes
the doctors accountable. It really does. And I'm not saying all doctors
fight. We as people of God need to not be afraid of medicine. Because God gave them the wisdom to make medicine.
I mean,
whether you know it or not, if you have diabetes, that affects your mental.
Yes, it does.
Y'all didn't know this. Some people didn't know that.
Say it again. Could you take your medicine? It affects your mental health.
Your blood
sugar gets high.
Your
ability. Amen.
It affects
to make right decisions.
You don't think right.
It affects your thinking. It affects your cognitive skills. It makes your imbalance. You know, on the things that you do. But also, what I want to say in the things when you're taking the medicines and stuff like that, look up what that medicine does, and pray over that medicine too. Like
sure
I look
do.
At the effects of everything that the doctor gives me and thinks. And then when I go to the doctors, if I'm not satisfied with what they're telling me or I feel like they're just giving me an answer but don't really know and they're just giving me an answer, you best believe I take it to the Lord. Because the Lord will tell you he has spoken to me. He will tell you, and I will go back to that doctor and say, won't you look for this? Won't you see this? Could it be this? You know, to put something in their ear that they're going to look back at and to give them something else to that. Because God will tell you.
You're right.
Oh, yes, you're absolutely correct.
And you do have to be very, like you're saying, the same way
we trust and believe in the doctors, because a lot of people believe, stand on that doctor's word, too. The same way we stand on the word of the doctors, we put that same effort into standing on the word of God, and you combine the two, there's nothing but healing that could take place.
All right now.
Amen.
Well, ladies,
and
we have
so
gone over time, but I am so tickled. I would like to maybe continue this again, but I appreciate just the professionalism, the word that you presented, and just the compassion. You know, because I think sometimes people don't understand that, yes, we can help you. We can be compassionate. But I think sometimes people just don't want to be bothered because, I don't know about that. Okay, maybe you're not an expert, but as Pastor Pam and as Elder Jenkins said and Pastor Henderson, go to God. What better resource for everything but God? And as we go to God and surrender and allow the Lord to minister to us, I guarantee you, and I say this on the prayer line, I guarantee you, when you're praying for someone else and when you're seeking God, he will answer you.
Yes.
He will answer you with his will, which is his word. And I want people to be encouraged. Speak up. Speak up.
Silence is not golden in this time. You are going to have to speak up.
Don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yes, that's right. Amen.
Well, I thank you, ladies, so much. I'm really, really tickled. I'm encouraged, and I thank God because as we are getting older and going further and deeper into the faith, the Lord has rewarded each of us in different ways. And I thank God because being able to speak up is a benefit. Because I know that certain people that I've had to deal with, you know, some of the verbal abuse that I used to take made me shut down. I'd look at them like, and I couldn't. And I thank God that I've been able to process that and come out of it. But I also had to realize, too, that I had to deal with my children. And allow my children to understand you have a right, you have a voice. Mm-hmm. That's what God gave you the voice for. Take the time, and if you have to prepare mm-hmm. your little speech, whatever, but I want you to speak up. Because verbal yeah. abuse leads to domestic abuse, all sorts of different areas that we can be, you know, taken advantage of. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to be able to speak up boldly, whether it's
yeah,
for ourselves
yeah.
or for our children, or even, like I said, for our leaders. Our leaders are leaving here in record numbers, not only through suicide, but through cancer, through things where they will not go to the hospital or find out. One of the bishops recently, he never went to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He died of prostate cancer. They didn't even know it.
Oh, Jesus.
And it's like, why sit in the background, in silence, in the dark,
mm-hmm.
and why do what they want you to do? He wants us to give up. He wants us to die. Because
uh-huh.
that one year older that he wasn't able. He wasn't able. Oh, my gosh. We thank the Lord for making a way. I thank the Lord for each and every one of you, for you speaking up. And I thank the Lord for just the sheer love. Because I think sometimes people feel like when they're having issues in life that they're not lovable. No matter what you're going through, God loves you.
Mm-hmm.
It may not feel good, it may not look right, but the fact that he woke you up this morning, that's a testimony. Don't give up.
Yeah.
Don't
Amen.
Give up.
Yeah.
For help.
Yeah.
If you have to go stand on your front porch and cry out until the policeman comes, and then you tell the policeman, you know what, I'm having a moment. That's asking for help. It's extreme, but at least you're asking for help. You're letting people know, I need help. And there's nothing,
mm-hmm.
that's another thing. Nothing wrong with needing help. Everybody
that's right.
needs help.
Need some help.
Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So before we close, Pastor Pam, if you would pray for all of those that are either in prison or that are in any type of confined state, if you would pray for them. And then after that, Elder Pat, if you would pray for all of our homeless. And after that, Pastor Henderson, if you would pray for all relationships, I would greatly appreciate it. And then we will have Bishop come in, for he has announcements he wants to make.
Amen.
Amen. Father God, Amen. We thank you. We praise you, God, for the word that we heard thus far. We thank you, Father, for all the encouragement that you've given even us. We thank you for the wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we've obtained through this discussion in Jesus' name. And Father God, I bring all those that are in prison, God, both male and female, young and old. I ask that you go into their jail cells right now in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
touch their
the
hearts
Lord.
And their minds, God. Do a healing even there. In the name of Jesus, let them
yes.
give them the mind, God, to want to come to you, to want to know you for who you are, God. Father, give them the purpose and the need to be
yes,
alive
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. We bind up every suicidal spirit
in
the name of Jesus. We bind up every sickness, every disease that they may have within in those cells in Jesus' name. And Father, I speak life, health, and healing into their bodies right now in Jesus' name. Father, I pray that someone comes into that facility and that they give them a right now word in a right now season in the name of Jesus, a word of deliverance, a word of healing, a word of freedom in the name of Jesus. Touch them right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. God, open up our understanding to this thing that's going out now for this disease called this mental illness in the name of Jesus. And help us, God, to understand it even better.
Yes.
Help us, God, to learn how to appropriate the word with the illness
yes,
that we may be a help
in
to the people that you send toward our way, God, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for this and all things we count it as done right now. Testimonies that have come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Thank you,
Father,
Jesus.
We come to your throne of grace boldly. Hallelujah. this evening. We thank you for the gathering of minds, Lord. We thank you for the wisdom that you have shed abroad in our hearts. We thank you, Lord God, because of your grace and mercy and understanding. Lord God, we are so grateful, God, that you gave us the time, Lord, to speak upon, hallelujah, that spirit, that mental illness disorders, Lord, that's trying to permeate through the land and trying to overtake your people, God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that healing is the children's bread. And, Lord, you bring healing, Lord, to the house. It begins at the house of the Lord, Father, in the name of Jesus. And then it goes out into the land. And we thank you right now, Lord, hallelujah, as we hold up those who may not have shelter, Father. You said, hallelujah, God, that we have to take care of those who are homeless, Lord, because those who are hungry, Father. Your word says that even foxes have holes, God, hallelujah, and birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man had nowhere to lay his head. Father, we thank you because you are the Jehovah Jireh. You're the provider, God. Hallelujah. Yes. You will provide homes to them. Lord, let us get out, hallelujah, and feed the hungry. Lord, minister to those who are homeless. Father, we thank you, God, because of the name of Jesus, that you're showing us, God, where we should work. We have much work to do, God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, God. Yes. You said you'll supply all of their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Lord, you are our shepherd, and they shall not want. God, we thank you because you're making them to lie down in green pastures. Lord, you're opening a door and making a way for them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you because you're the supplier of shelter, God, in the name of Jesus. God, it says that those who fear you will have no lack. God, the young lions may suffer, God, and want and hunger, but those who seek you, God, you will they will lack no good thing. And Father, we're asking right now that you send that man or woman of God, that man or woman of God that can come, God, and minister to the need so that they, God, can have shelter for their children. Hallelujah. For those mothers, Lord, that need shelter in the name of Jesus. God, we don't care what the world is saying about high prices. You, God, are the regulator of the prices. You're the one who will let go and make a way for them to be able to go into shelter in the name of Jesus. We thank you, God, that those who need jobs, let them find jobs. Let them put their hands together. Father, we thank you, that God, that businesses are coming out of those who are walking out their homes. Lord, bring them into their right mind, God, so that they can have shelter. We're not just talking about a room, but we're talking about homes, God, in the name of Jesus. They shall not go hungry, God, because we, Father, will be about your business, and we will feed the hungry and clothe those who don't have clothes in the name of Jesus. And we know that we will always have those who may be poor in the land, but that does not mean that they have to be homeless. God, we're going to open up our hands to our brothers and sisters in the name of Jesus, to the needy, God, and the poor in our lands, wherever we are, God. And we, God, you're going to give us a plan that we can make a way in the righteous name of Jesus. Now, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise because we count it done. We thank you, God, and God, that we count it done. We thank you, Lord God, that you continually move upon each and every one of us, Lord, represented on this line, that we get into our appointed places. God, we thank you, God, for the destinies, oh, God, that is going to come forth in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' holy, righteous, and matchless name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father God. We thank you for this discussion tonight, and we thank you for all the prayers tonight, Father God. And we agree with those prayers tonight, Father God. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for relationships on tonight. We thank you, oh God, for the people that you have put in our lives, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord, to have a sense of community, oh God. Lord, we thank you, oh God, for marriages tonight. Lord, we ask that you would heal any broken relationships, oh God, any broken places, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Move any discord, oh God. Move anything
anything that's hidden in the darkness, oh God, that would separate them from coming together, oh God, talking and sharing. Bring, oh God, closer and deeper community relationships together in our churches, oh God, where our youth will have people that they can talk to, where ministers will have people to talk to, where people in relationships will have other relationships, oh God, that they can confide in, that will help them along the way. Father God, we lift up every marriage. We lift up every relationship. Hallelujah. In the family, God, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you will heal. We ask that you will mend, oh God, that you will restore, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we commit them all into your care. Cover with your blood. Let there be healing. Let there be deliverance. Let there be breakthroughs, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Let there be peace on tonight, God. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for this discussion tonight. And we thank you that you're ministering, oh God, to somebody, oh God, in their lives, in their home, in their family, in their relationship. We declare your breakthrough and your healing. And we call these things done. In Jesus' mighty, Master's holy name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, ladies. It is awesome. I'm not sure what we're going to do next month, but you know what? Put me on your calendar just in case.
Amen.
If all hearts and minds are clear, I was mental illness this evening. If you are not saved and you want to get saved, get on the phone. Give us a call. We'll walk you through it in accordance with Romans 8, 9, and 10, I believe it is. We believe the word of the Lord. And we thank the Lord because there are different avenues. You can get help. Just raise your hand. There's a new signal. If you want to, talk to somebody, call someone that you have confidence in, or if you're really concerned or in crisis, that number is 988, correct, Ms. Simmons? This is Simmons, Elder Simmons, excuse me. 988 is the crisis line number.
988, that's it.
All right. Amen. I thank you, ladies, so much. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from another. Let us continually, positively pray for each other. I love you, my ladies. Love you,
family.
Lady family.
Did he chime in?
I'm just chiming in. I just wanted to put some
announcements
out.
Oh, okay. You fell asleep,
didn't
you?
Let me say, I actually did not. I sat here and listened to the whole thing the entire time. I kept it on mute.
And you cannot have anything to preach any messages. It all belongs to us. So don't even think about it.
You know what? You tell God that. If I have to put it out there, I put it out there. Talk to God about that one. Anyway, let me get going because it is time for us to get going. Thank you, Elder Simmons. Blessings to you. Congratulations to you as well. I didn't forget that you were part of that graduating or ordained class. I know. For those of you who are listening by way of radio, these are my younger sisters in ministry. They watched me grow up. Now I get to watch them grow up. That looks cool. Like these professionals. No, let me stop. Anyway, let me get to the announcements out here. And, of course, Pastor Henderson, I'm going to start with you first. Morning Glory, would you please fill everybody who's listening in on what happens on Morning Glory when it comes on, how long it lasts, and what takes place, please? I greatly appreciate that.
Amen. Every morning, amen, Jerusalem Temple offers, amen, prayer in the morning, 7 a.m., amen, word and inspiration in prayer. And that number is 617-793-8161. That number again is 617-793-8161. It's a good way to start your morning, amen, with prayer and a scripture of inspiration, amen. And we just invite anyone who desires to be a part of that to come and join us, amen. And as you're going to work, and if you have to click off, you just click off. But as you're going, you have something to listen to encourage your day in Jesus' name. You are welcome to join us. Thank you for the day.
Amen.
7 a.m. Monday through Sunday, every morning at 7 a.m.
Okay.
It is fire. It's better than coffee.
All right. Sis Elder Brown, it's all Juice Brown. Noonday prayer. Would you please help us understand in case they missed the 7 a.m. session or in case they wanted more?
All right. From 12 until 1, Monday through Friday. The Power to Stand prayer line. We're up there praying. We receive prayer requests. Yeah, I'm telling you, God is making a way. We've gotten testimonies. One of the greatest testimonies so far has been Dr. Jerry Green, a triple threat. He he beat prostate cancer, a stomach infection, and he also had a reversal of his colonoscopy that went very, excuse me, his, not colonoscopy, excuse me, colostomy. We thank the Lord because he had a serious infection in his stomach, and they were very concerned about that. But God stepped in, and he is healed, and he is moving.
Hallelujah.
Thank God. Let's get up there. We pray. We give you a brief word, and we believe. We believe, and we're seeing God move. So I don't know the number. I'm sorry, Bishop. I don't know the number.
Okay. The number is 701-801-9814, 701-801-9814. And in the last 4 months, we've had 3 souls come to the Lord. And we're just looking for God to do even greater.
Hallelujah.
The other announcement I have to make is simply this, and I'm going to make it very quick. On December 10th, and I'm going to let Pastor Pamela T. please make that announcement, if you would, please, with all the details that you can.
Sure. On December 10th, first at 9 a.m., we will be having our Pastor Dr. Walter Teague will be officially installed and affirmed as pastor. He's already a pastor, has already been confirmed as pastor and everything, but he never had the official sermon of laying out the laying on of hands and everything. So that will take place on Sunday, December 10th at 9 a.m. Our Bishop Willa Moody is the speaker for that morning. And then at 4 o'clock, we will be having a gala in his honor that's going to be held in Stratford at the Riverview Bistro restaurant, and the tickets are $70 for adults, $20 for children under 12. If anybody would like to participate, come or make a donation, you can see me or you can cash app the church cash app, which is the $BOMI, all caps, the number 2, BOMI, the number 2.
Amen, amen. And I just want to make a quick announcement. We do recognize that Thanksgiving is just around the corner. Open Mic with the Bishop will be audio taped by God's grace next Tuesday immediately after prayer. So about 1:30, all are welcome. Please come join us. And Thanksgiving Day, there will be no live version of Open Mic with the Bishop, but we will, and I'll talk with Dr. Kimmy Robinson a little bit later. If she has, I believe she already has something, but just in case she doesn't, we'll put something together. So we're looking forward for that to being covered and praying that you're all having a safe Thanksgiving. I know there are services going on across the country and around the world. We do need you to look out for those who are without. While you're sitting down to your Thanksgiving dinner table, think about those who do not have. Look at your table carefully. Those who lack what you're about to have, think about them. And if you can, minister to them if you know who they are. Last, by no means least, ladies, Elder Brown and Pastor Henderson, the week of December 8th, I believe it is. And I hope I got that right. No, wait, the 10th is Sunday, so the 8th is 7th is what it is. Yours truly and First Lady Sharon will be on our way to Aruba. So I'm leaving the show in your hands, whatever your topic is. Go at it,
okay.
Whatever it might be. If we're able to join you, we will be there. And then last but by no means least, going out, Power to Stand is part of the Bridge Network, and we started formulating what's called the Bridge Network Eastern Region. And we are going out to California, San Bernardino, in May from the 22nd until the 25th for their holy convocation and consecration, as Bishop Designate Diana Brandon will be elevated to the office of bishop. This is another one of my dear sisters, a fireball in her own right. I was there when she was ordained as an overseer, and it's funny how I could be there this time to participate in her service as a bishop. Bishop. Right. So we got so much going on. We want you to keep us in prayer. Don't forget those who are doing toy drives. There are different ones doing toy drives. If you're listening to us, wherever you are, don't matter what city, state, look for somebody that's doing toy drives, because there are young people who will not be. I know Christmas is about Christ. I understand that. But I need you to understand also, a child, when they see something, you know, we can't do anything about the commercialism, but we can do something to help them feel a little bit better about whatever it is they're going through. So meet those toy drives. I remember one time Basilea gave away bicycles one year, and I was just so impressed with that. When, you know, you got what?
December 16th is our toy drive, and we'll we'll be still collecting toys up until the 15th, and we will be raffling off some bikes for the kids.
Amen, amen. Power to Stand is affiliating and joining with two other churches to be part of a toy drive
Beautiful.
And a Christmas gala. So we'll be involved with some of our community churches there. We're starting to establish a name in Maryland, and to God be the glory. That's all the announcements I have. For the final say and benediction, Sister Kimmy Kim, I so thank you so very much for all that you do. Thank you so for producing this wonderful show. We're looking forward to each and every one of you. Have a happy, 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 happy Thanksgiving. And don't forget, from this point on, Jesus will always be the reason for the season. So there's no need for you to celebrate for any other reason except that. But that being said, we give God all glory and honor. We've already been prayed out. God bless you. Heaven smile upon you. We look forward to seeing you in 2 weeks live back on
with
the Bishop.
Amen.
For Open Mic with the Bishop, I'm Bishop Ernest E. Richards, saying God's peace be upon each and every one of you. Go in Jesus' name and make disciples of all men. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, the show is in your hands.
You've been listening to Open Mic with Bishop Ernest E. Richard and Company. If this podcast has been a blessing to you, then please consider sowing into this ministry. A $20 gift or more would be appreciated. You can do so through Cash App. Just use $ Power to Stand or on PayPal, Pritchard719@gmail.com. On behalf of Bishop Richard and the Open Mic panel, I'm Nina Taylor saying have a blessed week. We'll see you soon.